It's been more than a decade since a Juno man died, but his niece still comes to Juno every summer to pay her respects.
Sometimes people call me Tenacious Trina.
I'm Christina Michelle. Coming up, a conversation with Trina Lynch Jackson about a remarkable relationship between uncle and niece and two Black artists, one a mask maker and the other a poet.
Culture-rich conversations on Juno Afternoon is sponsored in part by Mark Stofa and Sarah Hannon of the Alaska Wild Salmon Company, delivering fresh salmon to Juno homes since 2006. Learn more at goodsalmon.com or 907-321-4997.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.
Welcome to Culture Rich Conversations. Today's show is a collaboration between KTOO and the Black Awareness Association of Juno. I'm your host, Christina Michelle, and today we have a very special guest, Trina Lynch Jackson. Welcome, Trina.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
We're so excited to have you here today and to talk about your life and your accomplishments and just some of your family history and what your uncle has accomplished with the masks that he made and that he shared here with our local community. And we even have some masks here in the studio that are beautiful. I can't wait to talk more about them. So I'll let you just share a little bit about yourself and we'll go from there.
So I'm actually from East Chicago, Indiana. And that's where my uncle was born. So there's a lot that we have in common when I share about my uncle. I'm a graduate of the high school there, and he was a graduate of that particular high school as well. I'm currently an associate professor at Ivy Tech Community College. And the community college is located in Gary, Indiana. So we have three locations, Gary, Crown Point, and back home in East Chicago. So everything kind of connects to East Chicago. My late uncle, Charles Dean Buggs, was an artist. He was just an amazing man. And some of the things that my uncle and I and my father, his brother, have in common is we graduated from East Chicago Washington High School. All three of us were in the military as well, and we were all teachers. But my uncle was an artist. I'm more into education, and my father was a track coach, and he actually played football. He played in the Rose Bowl in 1953.
Wow.
He was at Michigan State at the time. But let me get back to my amazing uncle, Charles Dean Buggs. He graduated from Howard, he was always a very proud man when it came to Howard. He taught at the high school there in Washington, D.C., and he really loved art. And the mask that he created was based on a course that he took at Howard. The instructor challenged them to create something that would cost less than $10. So what did my uncle do? He created these masks. And he called this the armature method. He actually wrote a little workbook called The Art of the Paper Mask. And these masks are made of, believe it or not, brown paper bags, because he felt like less than $10, brown paper bags. So he worked out a method, and I don't want to share too much of this method, because again, I'm going to be rewriting kind of an intro to his workbook, and I'll have that available. So give me a year. Please give me a year to do that.
Okay.
But the paper masks were actually shaped in the form of a baseball, a catcher's mitt. And when you look at the mask, you'll see actually the shape of a catcher's mitt. he wanted to honor different cultures, and he really loved Juneau. And let me tell you how he actually arrived in Juneau.
Yes, please.
Well, my uncle loved to fish. And it just so happened he had been teaching at the high school for, he had his 20 years in. And he also worked at the Children's Museum. But again, he loved to fish. He came to Juneau, Alaska, and he went fishing. He fell in love with Juneau, the people, the culture. He went back to Washington, D.C. and retired from the school system and the Children's Art Museum. He packed up everything and he ferried all of his belongings here to Juneau. Ultimately, he was able to obtain a job here working for the state as a mental health counselor. But again, we go back to the mask. He started teaching children how to create masks as well. And what I try to do every year, because I feel it's extremely important, it's been 10 years since my uncle has passed. I'm going to say I'm the favorite niece because, again, I'm the first one. He said, I'm just going to leave you a little something. And I never really paid any attention to what he said. He said, but I'm just going to leave you a little something. And I would say, I'd say, okay, all right. I remember talking to him initially on the phone, and I could hear a little cough. And I said, is everything okay? He says, oh, sweetheart, because he'd call me sweetheart. He says, I'm all right. I said, you know what? I think I'm gonna visit you. I'm coming to Alaska to visit you. He said, oh, my goodness, that would be wonderful. Don't take a cruise. He said, don't you dare take a cruise. I want you to fly in. I'm going to meet you at the airport, and I want to show you why I love Juneau. I'm like, okay. So I planned my summer break because, again, I teach in the community college, so I spend my summers actually here now and my winter breaks here just to pay reverence to him. But that summer that I spent with him was amazing. I met his Juneau family. His Juneau family takes care of me right now. When I fly into the airport, either Mike Shaw or I always call her Mayor D, Deanna Lampke, they're always there to pick me up at the airport and take me to the condo. But he took me all over the island. As a matter of fact, the condo that I live in now, which he left me, we went around the island pulling different kind of wildflowers. There's a rock garden right now, right outside the condo. And we kind of created that little rock garden. We planted different wildflowers there. But I still heard that little cough. And I'd always say, is everything okay? He says, oh, it's nothing. It's just a cold. It's just a cold. And I said, okay. But he took me all over all the sites that anyone wanted to see. He said, I want to share everything with you. I want you to love Juneau because I want you to live here. I'm like, well, I don't know. I don't know about that. You know, I like the Lyric Opera. I said, you know, I like the Joffrey Ballet. I said, you know, I like going places. He said, we have all of that here. I said, well, so he took me and he showed me the different places. He really wanted me to relocate to Juneau. It kind of solidified us. And when I say us, my uncle and I, because he had no children. And we would talk all the time. I would write letters to him. And I guess I was that daughter that he probably didn't have or wish he would have had, but we became extremely close at that time. Ultimately, I was talking to him on the phone one day, and again, I heard that cough. I said, what's going on? He says, well, I didn't want to tell you this, but I have lung cancer, and I've decided that I'm not going to go through those treatments. I have had a wonderful life. I want you to know that. I had to hold my breath. I had to pause. I said, you have what? He says, I'm okay, sweetheart. I have had a wonderful life. I'm going to be okay. I'm going to be all right. I'm like, okay. It made me pause. I had to take a deep breath. I didn't know what was going on. But now I realize I started to put two and two together. He would ask me for my Social Security number. I would give it to him freely, you know, not knowing what was going on. He was telling me all about his banking and all the things he was doing. Again, I really didn't know what he was preparing me for. My uncle was preparing me. And I actually have a story in a book that I wrote. It's titled Caution, This May Hurt Your Feelings. In that book, I have a story called The Suitcase. The Suitcase is about my uncle. The Suitcase is a story that everyone needs to understand. It's a story that I want to kind of share with all of you, because the last phone call I had with him, I heard that cough again, and I wept. And he said, oh, don't cry. I'm okay. He would always say, I'm okay. I have had a wonderful life. I didn't realize that that was the last phone call I would have with him. A few days later, I got a call from Deanna. Again, his neighbor, my friend, my Alaskan family. She told me, I don't hear your Uncle Charlie moving around in the condo. I said, Deanna, could you just call the Juneau Police Department? Could you call them for me? She said, okay. And she called, and I got a call that he had passed. He had passed the way he wanted to. I can't tell you how important it is to honor and respect your family wishes, because we had had that discussion when he told me he had lung cancer. In the past, I was an Alzheimer's director for 20 years working with Alzheimer's patients and caregivers. I can't tell you how important it is to respect and honor individuals. I didn't know he had left a briefcase. He had left a briefcase with everything that he wanted me to have. When I flew here to Juneau, everything was already taken care of. He had made all the arrangements as it related to his funeral, because he wanted to be cremated. All of that was taken care of. I can't tell you how important it is. That briefcase, when I opened the briefcase, the will was there, letters that I had written him, pictures he had kept. I would send him subscriptions to Ebony and Jet Magazine, because I wanted to make sure that he had that connection as a person of color. That was important. But it was so important. That briefcase now is in my home, and now I have that briefcase for my grandchildren. my uncle was preparing me. I really didn't realize what he was doing. He passed 10 years ago in October of that year. But I didn't know I was going to lose my only child on December 31st of that year. I had to do one of the most painful things anyone ever has to do. No parent wants to bury their child. But he prepared me. I believe he prepared me. That briefcase now I have for my grandchildren. They're older now. Ashley works in advanced manufacturing, and CJ is in the military. But they know that I have that briefcase. They understand that everything in that briefcase is important to prepare them. My responsibility, whenever I'm here in Juneau, I always take the time to make sure that I honor my uncle. Currently, I had his mask on display at our local libraries in Merrillville, Indiana, and in Gary, Indiana. I have been on a show called Art on the Air. It's our public radio station in Merrillville, Indiana. I was interviewed talking about my uncle. My brother's name is Reginald. He actually has my uncle's middle name, so he's Reginald Dean Buggs. We really believe in honoring family, and I think it's extremely important. That's something that we have always done in our culture. That's something that's important in many cultures. I think it's something that we should always honor as well.
Wow. Oh my goodness, Trina. I don't even know what to say. What a beautiful story. And, well, I'll start off with saying I can listen to your voice forever. And just the richness of what you're sharing about your uncle and how he got to Juneau, and just that relationship that you guys had, and then the masks and how he brought that to us and how you're bringing it back to Indiana. Just all of it is just so beautiful. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, I would love to talk more about the masks, and also, if you're willing to share with us a little bit about your book, and even though it says that we may be offended, I think we'll take a chance here. Is that okay with you?
Not a problem at all.
Okay. All right. So if you're just joining us, I'm Christina Michelle, and I'm here with Trina Lynch Jackson, and we will be right back. Welcome back to Culture Rich Conversations. You're here with Christina Michelle and our guest, Miss Trina Lynch Jackson. And we are continuing the conversation about her uncle Charles, who made paper masks after he moved here from Indiana. He moved here to Juneau, Alaska, retired, got involved with the community and teaching art at one of the middle schools, and part of the legacy that he left behind are these beautiful paper masks that we are looking at here in the studio. Trina, can you just describe a little bit about what the masks look like for our listeners?
Well, one of the masks actually has an Asian tone to it. He really wanted to respect different cultures, so he really studied a lot of the different cultures. So the mask that I have here is in celebration of the Asian culture. He really did a lot of celebrating of the Juno culture. So I have several masks that are actually a raven, and it was honoring one of his neighbors who was from the Raven clan. Mm-hmm. The other mask, he loved Laurel and Hardy for some unknown reason. And this mask is actually a character, kind of a Laurel and Hardy. I really enjoy this one. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be taking this one home. I'm going to be packing a few of the masks and taking them back home, because every February, I have his mask on display during Black History Month to celebrate and to honor him. And I do talks about his mask and how he created them with the brown paper bags. And he used a heavier appendage to actually shape and form the mask. So he studied a lot about the different cultures, and I was kind of reading up on some of the things he did. Many of the earlier cultures, they actually wore masks. They wore ceremonial masks. In some of the earlier tribes, they wore masks that were shaped like animals, and the main reason why they did that is so that they could go out into the wild and hunt. So there's a lot of significance, a lot of history related to masks. And I think he really enjoyed working with the children because they were so creative. They did different things. A few of the masks that I have in the condo actually have horns, and he used hangers. So he started adding different things to the mask based on honoring different cultures. On a lot of his masks as well, he has them dated, so it'll let you know what date he created them with the year, and he named a lot of the masks. Now, his book, and again, it's called The Art of the Paper Mask. I have a little homework to do, so please, audience, spare me. I'm going to rewrite again a little story about the suitcase as an intro. And in time, I will let you know that so that we can have this available. My goal, because of my love and respect for my uncle, is to actually probably sell these, because I'd like to provide scholarships to students that want to go into a field that can be tasking and difficult. Because when people want to go into the arts, I mean, you're creative. And a lot of people don't respect and honor that. And I know that it was difficult for him. He worked several jobs in order for him to go to Howard. He was a postman. He spent time in the military prior to going to Howard. My grandmother, his mother, Edna Bugs, of whom he loved, and she really loved and cherished him. She really encouraged him, and whatever he wanted to do, she always encouraged him. So the greatest thing for him was to actually be a graduate of Howard. Really, what I want to do is to go to Howard University. I made a few attempts to really have his work on display there. Sometimes people call me Tenacious Trina, because I'm determined. So I plan on going to Howard to see if there's some way I can connect with someone at that school to see if I can have some of his work on display there. But let me share a little something about my uncle at Howard. It's just some stories that he shared with me. He said at the time he was at Howard that Debbie Allen and Felicia Rashad were students there, and wow, he would see them kind of flittering around the school. It was just so much fun to hear him share different things about his experiences at Howard. He also said he remembers seeing Roberta Flack as a child prodigy in the music conservatory playing the piano. So he shared a lot of stories about his time at Howard. And it was such a joy being able to listen to a lot of the stories he shared. And as all of you are listening to me now, you probably realize I'm a bit of a storyteller. And I wrote a book. It's called Caution, This May Hurt Your Feelings. I wrote that book based on the George Floyd experience. It was painful for me. I don't know about any of you, but I cried. I wept when I saw what happened to George Floyd. During that time, I sat and I started writing. I wrote short stories. I wrote poems. I wanted to tell my truths. All of us have different truths, but I wanted to share my truths. And if you don't mind, I want to share just a short poem titled Say What. I'm sharing this with you because now we're marking 2 years of George Floyd's passing. Again, say what? We witnessed the senseless death of George Floyd. You said when you see something, say something. Now that we are, you're saying we're going too far. You're driving cars through crowds of peaceful protesters. Is this a test? Because you have failed again. We just can't win for the sins of your fathers. Trust and believe we will not be deceived. Empathy for what? Sympathy? Say what? You have shot us in the back. I don't know what you're going to do, but trust and believe we don't believe you, and we're not through. Everyone's watching you. Now you want to have a conversation because Corona has denied you a vacation? Can't get away seeing the everyday atrocities of black people enraged and brown people caged? We have lived through the distribution, then retribution, of far too many institutions. We are subjected to being rejected and questioned on our accomplishments because we followed the so-called rules. Say what?
Wow.
Thank you for allowing me to share that, specifically during these most difficult times.
Earlier, you touched on how we are here at the 2-mark anniversary of George Floyd's death, and yet we're still having the same experiences as black people. Our black men are still getting gunned down in the streets. Black communities are being terrorized. In your opinion, what can be done? What is next? What can we do as a people?
We have to continue to educate and protect our young men and our young women. They still have to have that talk. We cannot stop. We have so many talented and devoted individuals. I want everyone to take some time to listen to John Legend. He actually has a new program where he's focusing on individuals that are transitioning out of prisons. They're starting to become entrepreneurs. They're starting to do their own thing. I want everyone to go back to, and I'm sorry to say, back to Black Wall Street, but this is what we have to do. It's not actually going back. It's actually pushing forward, and we have to continue to do that as a people.
Well, Trina, if we want to hear more of your poetry, how can we do that?
Well, you can go to Amazon, and it's being sold on Amazon. Again, the title is Caution, This May Hurt Your Feelings. And the main reason why it's titled that way is sometimes people have difficulties reading stories that tell our truths, because we have all been through a little something. But I think with Corona, with the virus, with all the shootings, with all the atrocities that are going on, it's our opportunity, and this was my way of actually being able to write my pains, because it was painful. I don't know about any of you, but for me, again, I cried when I saw what happened to George Floyd. Some people have said, wow, you were brave with some of those stories. I don't know about being brave. I'm just being honest. And if that's a form of bravery, okay. But I was just being honest.
Unfortunately, in this day and age, honesty is associated with bravery. But I think that it's wonderful that you took your pain and our collective pain and you put it into art and something that you can share with the world. And it's something that echoes how many of us are feeling and have been feeling for a long time. The George Floyd incident was kind of the culmination of a lot of suppressed, repressed emotions for a lot of people of color. And that was just the time where, you know, we just said, that's enough. That's enough. And yet, we're still having these problems. We still have a lot of work to do. But it's work like yours and your bravery and putting that out into the world that I think is going to help continue to move us forward and help us to heal. So thank you.
Thank you for that. What I'd like to be able to do at some point is to be able to share my uncle's work here at Juno. So I hope at some point I will be able to possibly do that, maybe at the libraries, because again, it is my responsibility to share his work. Something about our history, and I think it's important that all of us remember this, Black history should not be a mystery. Our history should not be a mystery. And if we don't share and talk about the works of our fathers, of our brothers, of our sisters, all will be lost. And I am determined that my uncle, Charles Dean Bugs, his work will not be lost. So I will continue to show his work whenever there's an opportunity to do that. And I have so many masks, and there are so many different stories behind each one of the masks. So I would like to be able to do that. And normally I'm here for summer breaks and winter breaks. So hopefully I will be able to share his work and actually talk about his work at other locations as well. I so appreciate you allowing me this opportunity to be able to do this and to share my written work as well.
Oh, the pleasure has been all ours for sure. Trina, before we go, can we have one more poem from your book?
Certainly. This one, simply because women of color are always accused of actually having an attitude. So this one is, She Has an Attitude. I don't have an attitude. I am not rude. Don't talk to me about gratitude. I don't have to smile on a dime because you say so. I don't have to dance and prance for you folks. My talent is balanced by knowledge and power. We had to educate, elevate, and evacuate on your terms, because if we rebelled, there was hell to bear. Not a monkey, but a bear. But you continue to monkey us down. I can articulate. We are not late. We are just counted last at the gate. Don't date us. Don't rate us. And don't hate us. Skin in the game, don't say my name. I have not misspoken. I am not your token. She has an attitude.
Thank you so much. I don't think I even have to ask what inspired that, especially as a Black woman who gets accused of having an attitude from time to time.
Well, I have one more for you, and I know we have limited time, but this one is another one that we frequently are placed in a situation, especially now with all these new created positions that they have, labeled at the table. Thanks for the label as I sit at the table. Angry Black woman, I am not, but if that makes you feel good, to place a hold on me, you told a lie on me so you could be on top. I hope you got what you wanted. I'm not disappointed. I know you know. Angry Black woman, I'm not. So that's your way every day of keeping me in my place. White chairs for blonde hair. So you can acquire that limited space in this so-called human race. Don't mistake this black face. I wasn't supposed to be, but you made it about me. Labeled at the table. Why do I say this? Now all of a sudden they have these diversity, equity positions that they're placing individuals in, and they're really not allowing them to have a voice. So I just want people to understand we don't need to be labeled at the table. We have a voice.
Well, Trina, it has been an absolute pleasure having you here with us today. Is there anything else that you would like to share in closing?
Well, it's just been an honor to be able to spend this time. I'm also currently doing a Zoom at noon with entrepreneurs. That's something I do at the community college system. I love interviewing entrepreneurs, and I love sitting across from someone who is an entrepreneur. I'm always amazed at individuals that are innovative, they're creative, they're risk takers, and they're willing to give their all. And that's what I wanted to do today. I'm a risk taker. I wanted to do it all. And I'm a storyteller. So I would love to come back whenever I have the time to share additional stories. The stories from my book as well.
Yes.
So thank you for that.
Well, we would love to have you back, Tenacious Trina.
I accept.
All right. It's a date. Thank you for joining us here today on Culture Rich Conversations. I'm Christina Michelle, and we've been here with Trina Lynch Jackson as she shares her family legacy and the story of her uncle Charles Dean Buggs, who was an artist and shared much of his art here with our Juno community. Culture Rich Conversations is every Thursday at 3 p.m. and you can learn more about our guests on the KTOO website and also on the Black Awareness Association of Juno Facebook page. Until next week, take care. Bye-bye.
You're listening to Culture Rich. Culture Rich. Culture Rich.